Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to buymeacoffee.com/requiredreading. Our guest today for this special mini episode is Jess Woodworth, who did our Tale of Despero episode. She is a author and designer. We met on Welcome to Flatch. And today we're doing a movie because I'm about to do a lot of traveling. And it's The Nightmare Before Christmas from 1993, directed by Henry Selick. And I had never seen this movie. What's your story with this movie?
Oh my gosh. So I was just talking about this movie the other day with my partners, and I think I've been watching it since I was so little. I had to have been like 6 or 7 the first time I saw it. And it became an immediate staple every Christmas, every Halloween, every year. And it became so like ritualistic. Like I know a lot of people like Harry Potter as their Christmas movie or like Hocus Pocus as their Halloween movie and like totally get it. Very big fan of Hocus Pocus also. But I constantly come back to this one every single time, even though I've seen it just a few months prior. It's, I think, one that just like spoke to me so early as like a spooky ookie kid, you know? Like I was like, yes, give me like the creepy, but also like very like emotional and like sentimental storyline about like these misfit characters who are trying to fit in. And as someone who's favorite holiday growing up and to this day is Halloween. I think it resonated a lot with me through the lens of just like everyone always loves Christmas, right? Because like you get toys and like all of like the big gifts. And for me, I was like, no, I want to dress up and I want like that dark, go be whatever you want to be and run around in the darkness, which I think says a lot about me. But this kind of like bled the two together in a way where I kind of then also had some even ground with people who like loved Christmas. And I was like, cool, I can watch a Christmas movie with you that also resonates really deeply with me. And so it became a classic.
My gosh, I had never seen it before. I guess the roughest way I would explain the plot is the King of Halloween Town, two separate words, because Halloween Town was a similar classic for me. Huge staple. And Kimberly J. Brown, who plays the main character in that, is actually from the same town as me, which is crazy.
That's so cool.
And actually, I don't know if you saw this. So at one point, she, I guess through a deal with Fox, posted a TikTok about Flatch when it was airing. And I commented on it. It was like, oh my God, I'm in this show. And also, super creepy question, are you from Gaithersburg? Because me too. And she goes, oh my God, yeah. Her TikTok is very cute. And she's married to her love interest in Halloween Town, too. Yeah, they got married. It's really
Oh, that's
cute.
so cute.
I know. It's adorable. And we had talked about doing that, but this one I think felt very in the vein of the show. I mean, this movie is everywhere. Like, truly has always been everywhere. And I, for a long time, actively avoided it. And the only bit I had seen of it was on Disney Channel. They would play music videos, and around Halloween, they would always play the opening number of this as a music video. And I would always leave the room because I was like, that is yucky and creepy and scary. Something I am realizing a lot is like how much my enjoyment of an animated thing is based on if I think it's cute. Like the aesthetics are really
Sure.
important to me. And I watched a lot of claymation. I was like very much an Aardman family, like Wallace and Gromit. Watched a lot of
Okay.
it, Creature Comforts, and I had a VHS of like short films. And so I mentioned this in texting. There's a short film in one of those called Not Without My Handbag that is terrifying. Terrifying. You can find it on YouTube. It's about a little girl whose aunt. She's living with her aunt. The aunt fails to pay like the washing machine monthly payment and so gets sucked into hell by the devil. But she doesn't bring her handbag, so she crawls out of hell as a skeleton to get her handbag and then go back down. The whole time, the little girl was absolutely freaked out, justifiably. And so that was like growing up, my best friend hated claymation. And I was like, I don't get that. I love claymation, but I do. I understand that it can be scary. I understand that fully.
Have you seen Coraline? Or like, so that's also Henry Sickle. And same with James and the Giant Peach.
Yes. And yes. I loved James and the Giant Peach.
Yes.
Like that was palatable. I don't really know why, because those things are very similar. I also have to admit, and I learned this about myself a year or two ago around this time of year, I don't like skeletons.
There. Okay.
I just don't like
okay.
looking at them. It's yeah. not like a scary thing. It's just like an aesthetic thing of like,
no thanks.
I'd rather have a pumpkin. So yeah. I think that it was mostly an aesthetic thing, because I do also love Christmas and I love Halloween. I loved animated stuff. Wallace and Gromit had a Halloween movie that came out when I was, I think, in elementary school, and I saw that in theaters, and the bunnies in that are very cute. But I had like purposefully avoided this. And so sat down last night and started watching it. And I was very charmed and enjoyed it. And I think the big thing I came out of it was like, where's the rest? Like, I really fell in love with the character of Sally.
Oh.
Like, incredibly complex and surprising. Mm-hmm. I was so surprised that Catherine O'Hara did the voice of that. Yeah. And I just, like, I want a TV show about Sally. Like, her character is the most fascinating thing to me.
So fascinating.
I also grew up, I don't know how to describe it, but if it's 2010 and you're in Hot Topic, everything is this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think from that, I was like, I expected Sally to be a much bigger character than she actually sure. is. Yeah.
I think that to the point that you just said, right, like it's her complexity that I think fans have always been very in love with, mm-hmm. which is where her explosion came from.
Right.
Obviously coupled with the fact that Nightmare just became a phenomena.
Yeah.
And then she is just naturally Jack's love interest. So hand in hand, if you're going to put out Jack Skellington things, you're going to put out Sally things.
Right.
But I do think that one of the things that I love most about this movie is that the more you watch it, the more complex all of the things kind of start to become. Like the fact that, like, for Jack, he gets like this dopamine hit and he experiences like childlike wonder and he's like, I need it. I need to have it. I need to have all of it. And it's like this obsession to like then be able to like recreate the spark.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't have to, like like you said, he is the pumpkin king of Halloween Town and he lives up on the hill and he overlooks everything. And like even the mayor of Halloween Town constantly is like looking to him for advice. And when they can't find him, he's like distressed.
Yes. The whole town comes to a halt. They cannot find him.
Disarray.
Yes.
But it's fascinating that like he is not content with that. And we see that, like, you know, we see his like identity crisis over something that he is like very good at and that everyone around him knows he's very good at and tells him he's very good at, but he wants something else, you know, and in doing that, which, you know, as like we're taught as kids, like that's not a bad thing, but the way that Jack goes about it is a very bad thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like such an interesting twist on this lesson is like you can want like more and you can learn from things that you like enjoy and you can still be good at this other thing that you do. But maybe you don't steal and maybe you don't
kidnap. Like, but yeah.
Yes. And accidentally almost get someone killed.
Yeah.
Two different mascots get kidnapped in this movie.
Yeah. The Easter Bunny and then Santa Claus.
Or Sandy Claus.
Sandy Claus, which is very cute. Not mispronunciation, but that is what they think his name is. And it is like, everyone has very good intentions. Everyone, there's just a lot of miscommunication. And I love that you brought up the mayor. The mayor might be my favorite character.
Fascinating.
I think he's so funny. I think starting it starts with the musical number, which is still like, something is unnerving here. It's about the animation style. They're very spindly. And the whole time I was thinking, like, I like Corpse Bride, which is extremely similar. Always liked that. But I was taking notes when I was reading it. And the first thing I wrote is, respectfully, ugly. Meaning, like, that's the purpose. Like, they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And there's something, like, the claymation feels a bit rough. Like all of the characters are kind of worn down and that's on purpose. But like, that's something I always love about Aardman stuff is you can see the fingerprints on the clay. Yeah. And in this, it made it bad. It made it creepy, you know? It was
like, right. Something unnerving about it.
Yeah. I think that was something also once that opening number is finished. And also what a great finish that like Jack comes in with a pumpkin on his head and is lit on fire, like very Wicker Man, and then dives in the water and comes out without the pumpkin and with his skull on. And what was fascinating and like frightening is his mouth. It has this scar on his skull, which is like, I think a thing as a kid you don't notice, but I'm like, what did that like carving into bone? This is bad.
Right.
There's backstory there. But I think what you were saying is like, to me, the big problem, capital P, for this character is like boredom, yeah, is wanting new. I was, I just finished listening to the fourth Dune audiobook. And that series is crazy. And so the fourth book is about, from the perspective of God, who lives in a worm body. And his big thing is like, I am bored. I've lived for 1,000 years. And like, I like this person because they're different. They're exciting. I'm surprised. And so very like Jack Skellington, Sally has it also. Sally is this sort of like Frankenstein patchwork doll. The doctor, is his name just Dr. Frankenstein?
Something like that.
Yeah. He's terrifying. He is the scariest part. There's also a lot of humor. And I think like Sally also has that restlessness. She's like just trying to get out of the house. She's playful. Like, I think that was so surprising to me is once that opening sequence, which has always been scary to me, ends, it is, you know, November 1st and everything is so chill and like so fun. Like Sally is locked up and trying to poison this doctor. And they're both, Sally and the doctor are like, you silly goose, come on. And the mayor is also like, doo-doo-doo, here we go.
Tuesday.
Exactly. Everyone is so chipper. There's a great line from the mayor where he's like, I'm just an elected official. I can't make decisions on my own. But it's, I think boredom is such a staple of childhood in a way that is very interesting now being on the other side of it. I think especially like the summer definitely coming to an end. I was also looking a little bit at the Wikipedia page for this and we can talk about sort of the genesis of this. You definitely know a lot more than me. But Tim Burton had a quote about really liking the holidays of both Halloween and Christmas because it gives like a texture to this time. Time suddenly like has a definition. It has something to be building to. And I have always really felt that. I feel like September 1st, we're putting up pumpkins because it gives some momentum and some celebration and something special about the time.
For sure. Yeah. I think interestingly, what you just said too, is if we're looking at it through that context of holiday, it also makes a lot of sense that something like Halloween would be jealous of something like Christmas.
Yeah.
And less so of something like Easter, you know?
Which does make an appearance. The Easter Bunny. Yes.
It does make an appearance. And we even do get a glimpse of some other holidays on the trees. But I think that this idea of just like both of these time periods having very distinct feelings, sensations, texture is a great word. But just like there is catharsis around that ending of fall that is like really truly like centered around that Halloween spirit and that like true winter holiday, like wonderland that everybody wants, you know, not everyone experiences, but everybody wants for that like Christmas morning. We even see Jack's wonder about snow. In the movie and like how magnificent, like what's this is such a fun number because we really get to experience why, like the why for all of his reasoning for why he does all of the quite terrible things that he moves forward to do, because he doesn't, and he even does to his credit say he doesn't want anyone to get hurt, whether that, you know, is actually going to happen or not is, you know, oogie boogie is a looming force in the background that we'll talk about in a bit. But, you know, he really just wants to capture that momentum of like, wow, has everyone experienced this? How can I make everybody experience this? And in doing it, he creates a like crisis over in Halloween Town, and a true identity crisis, which goes back to that being envious and wanting what the other has isn't always the right choice. The grass isn't always greener, even if it's snow.
You said something interesting about just Jack wanting. There's so much want in this, about wanting that splendor, about wanting to share it, about wanting something new. And I have noticed that in my own writing. I think the phrase that comes up so much for me is from The Little Mermaid, is I want more.
Yes.
And that it's not bad to want and want and want. And that feels so of childhood. Mm-hmm. And I think it also feels childish. And I think that makes us often feel bad for feeling it.
Even Sally, like Sally's wants are also very clear throughout the movie. Her wants are a lot more realistic.
Yeah.
But they are still very like loud and driving. And I think everybody who wants something in this movie does so to some detriment of themselves. They lose themselves somewhere in that mystique and wonder and search. I think that's what I love so much about Zero and his glowing nose, is this return back to the light of like, you will be guided back. You will end up back where you belong, you know? There is something loyal, you know, to lead you back. But all of the characters have these very, very loud wants throughout the movie, coupled with boredom. Like Sally's bored with her life, and she wants and longs for the love of Jack and just like more, and to be, and to feel like she is real. Jack obviously is bored of his entire life and the loudest and most clear of all of them. And he's, you know, out doing crimes. Like, well, he's not doing it, but he's sending people out to do crimes. But even like Lock, Shock, and Barrel, the kids, all of them are seem to be bored, and they all are trying to figure out like what's going to be the most fun way to handle this project. And they all also want to be noticed by Oogie Boogie, who is noticeably bored. And at this point, he's like gambling. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, like I always win, because it's not really gambling, because he always has control. But it feels better to like have this illusion of chance. And it isn't until that illusion of chance is no longer an illusion and everything starts to fall apart does like that stop being fun.
Yeah, it's when the unexpected actually starts happening.
Right.
Yeah, I think Sally is an interesting corollary, I think, for kids of that idea of like being trapped in a house by a grouchy person who wants to pick you apart and unravel you and constantly remake you. I think there's a degree of, but then that I think is such a nice turn, because Sally is all patched up and can remove parts of herself that in the end, when trying to save Santa Claus, she's able to use that to her advantage and separate. Right. And so use the things that make her different to make her feel successful.
Yeah.
And I think there's, yeah, it's so fun. And I think like there's a hallmark of Christmas movies to me is community and everyone coming together. And I think it's really nice to have that in their Halloween Town of everyone is trying their best. You know, everyone wants to make this, like everyone wants that wonder and that excitement and wants, like when Jack leaves town, everyone is so scared and so worried. Like there's a lot of love in this world.
I mean, and they do try. Like
they try.
To their credit, they try really hard. They don't understand. They do it very poorly. Like when Jack comes back and he gives them all of these like blueprints to really make Christmas happen. Everybody does their best to follow those blueprints. They just don't understand what Christmas is. They didn't go experience it. So what ends up happening is this hodgepodge of like gifts that are mortifying.
Yeah, gifts that like a Halloween Town child would love, but not a normal world child, certainly.
And no one is affecting. And so this idea though is that like they really do their best. They ask questions, and Jack kind of is just like, you guys got it. It's fine. You know, because he wants the fun parts. He's like, all right, well, that's handled. I now want to have the hat and the suit and all of those fun things. And again, like you said, wanting isn't bad, but the way you go about it and the way you handle it is so important, especially as a kid, when you like don't understand that some of those things can be really childish. And Sally, I think, is this great aware character who does her best to pump Jack's brakes many times. And you can just tell that, like, she doesn't want to burst his bubble. Like, she really does her best to support what he is wanting. And, like, really does want for him to be happy. And so she's trying her best to follow along with those dreams. But she also recognizes the harm and the detriment that can come of all of this. Even just the detriment that could come to him. Yeah. Let alone, like, the bigger holiday. And ultimately, she's right. I mean, he gets shot out of the sky.
They bring out cannons.
If he wasn't dead already, he might have died. I don't know.
And it's interesting that Sally, who lives with the consequences of other people's decisions, is the reminder that consequences exist and happen and that we have to account for them. I think that's really an interesting connection. And I think it's interesting that the character that kids identify with is the one, is Sally, who ends up being sort of the responsible one.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah. But I think then it's like, I think this had something sort of muddled. I think the end lesson of like the grass is greener on the isn't always greener on the other side reminds me, and I'm gonna bring it up every episode, The Wizard of Oz, when, like, you know, Home Sweet Home, where it's like you leave and you gain a greater appreciation for it. But I think maybe that as a kid left me with something of like, no, but I wanted to go there. Like, I want to still walk in Oz. It's cool and gorgeous. So like, I think that message kind of always missed me of like, I think because in the end it's like Sally is gonna have a new life, like he builds a replacement for her, but I am gonna still have my same life, which that's why we make movies and stuff. But
I definitely see that. I think it goes back to what you were saying about community, right? Specifically for this movie, I've always also felt similarly about The Wizard of Oz, because I'm always like, wait, no.
It was cool. I want to go there.
Those are my friends. Like,
yeah.
But I think specifically for this movie, it goes back to community and recognizing that Jack can want that. Jack can want to go walk in Winter Wonderland, and that's fine. He did, and it was great for him, and he can do that anytime he wants. He knows where the trees are. But I think it goes back to he pushes that identity and that wonder and that crisis that he's having onto everyone around him, who out of love does their best to conform to this idea. And it isn't until he stops and he recognizes that what he had actually was really great, and he didn't have to ruin what was already also great because it was great. And that, I think that's that moment where he's in the angel, you know, after he's been shot down and he's held and he's like, you know, disheartened and disheveled, and he's like, wow, life sucks, everybody hates me, what did I do wrong? And then he like realizes, he's like, oh, everybody's scared of me. And I think there's that part too of like the, like, he's never experienced like anyone like loving him in like a way that wasn't adoration for how scary he is. And so, like, I think there also is, like, not as clear and probably a little muddy, but that kind of, like, want in Jack's character of, like, wanting to be adored for something different than fear.
Yeah.
And it isn't until he's laying there and he's, like, they're afraid of me and I'm, like, doing my best to give them gifts and, like, what am I doing wrong? And he's, like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay that I'm scary. It's okay that I'm really good at Halloween. It's okay that I'm not good at Christmas. And it's okay that I love Christmas. Because he even has like a nice exchange with Santa later.
Yeah.
You know, like at the very end of the movie, he does have a nice, like, Santa's like, don't ever do that again. But also, we're good. There is, I think, this realization of like, oh, I kind of changed everything I am and everything that everyone around me is for something very fleeting that like doesn't have to be my whole identity and doesn't have to take away from the person I am. And I think that I maybe felt that less because I was like, no, yeah, take me back to Halloween Town. Why is it,
Right.
why are you guys making it not a Halloween Town? Now there's two Christmas places. Where's Halloween? But I think it is that moment of there isn't a lot for him to be able to return to those doors, which we see because Shock, Lock, and Barrel are able to go there and they're able to access them numerous times to be able to get the Easter Bunny and then back and then get Santa. And so I think that this idea of like wanting gifts and wanting love and wanting affection instead of wanting fear and wanting screams and wanting, you know, tears is what initially drives that like wonder also. Because even in What's This, I think he has lines about like, people aren't screaming, people aren't cowering, people, you know, like there is like this part of it is wow, Christmas, but the other part is also wow, joy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wow, happiness, you know, like, and I think that he learns to see happiness in Halloween and like how it serves as like its own special thing and that it's okay that there is a difference in him. Mm-hmm. And so I think lesser than a don't go to the new place. It's more don't change everything you are to fit into the new place because you're okay to be the weirdo the way you are, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you are creepy and spooky. And
yeah, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think like something I dealt with a lot as a teen is like wanting your identity to be more than one thing. Like that created strife between me and my friends of like, I wanted to be something different. And there's a lot of comfort in rigidity and the roles we've always had and always played. And I think, like you said, the reaction is different in the Christmas world of adoration, of that positivity, of wanting that joy. And I think something that struck me from the very beginning is I didn't know that there was a Halloween Town in this. And of course, the other one is very big to me. And the lore and the backstory in Halloween Town is that the world is scared of us. So we get to have a town just to ourselves where we can be as odd as we want. And we can be, we can live in peace is always the line in the movie. There it's leaning into ourselves and being insular, where in this Halloween Town, two words, it's about creating that sense. It's about expectations. It's about, and it's about creating an experience for someone else, which I think is
the
really
countdown
interesting.
That happens. And I think that also goes into what you were just saying, right? Like the difference of like, this is our community. This is where we go. This is our, like our place. As opposed to we are tucked away here for the next year till it's our time again to come out and be here, you know, and then when you are, everyone's afraid of you and everybody wants to run away. And like, how fun is that for how long? And to see something different and want something different, it, like you said, isn't bad until you go about it bad. I mean, again, he's welcome back to that winter wonderland because that's how this world is divided, right? Is that all of these mascots, we'll call them, of the various holidays all rule these holiday realms. And he's welcome to go to the holiday realm. He's not welcome to ruin the real world Christmas.
Right.
And I think like that's the lesson learned, right? Is like, it's okay that someone else is better at it than you. It's okay that what you're good at isn't necessarily the conventional thing. And again, it is okay to want, it's just not okay to do it in this way. And I think we also learn that through Oogie Boogie, right? In being that like Oogie Boogie is so gluttonous and literally made of bugs, right? He is like made up of like writhing, terrible insects. And so I think that like this like gluttonous, you know, which I think is also mirrored by the gambling, like that that kind of like, especially back in the the early 90s, they're like gambling, gluttony, hand in hand. But I think that like he is in theory what Jack could become, right? Because Jack is a low-key anti-hero. I mean, and that's being generous. He does very bad things in this movie. And so, like, when you look at Boogie, like, he really is just what Jack is able to turn into if he continues down this path of, like, you know, just wanting so much that you will consume everything. Because Boogie has no respect for Jack. He's the one character in Halloween Town that we see have zero respect for this Pumpkin King and is like, yeah, I'll kill you too. Who cares? I'll kill Santa. I'll kill Sally. I don't care.
Yeah, this is a bit of a stretch, but I think it's almost like Jack going to the Christmas realm is sort of could be read as an exploration of like cultural appropriation versus appreciation.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, if you go to someone else's house and they ask you to take your shoes off, take your shoes off. Like it's you know, it's a core of respect. It's when you're going to someone else's place. Like, take care for the things that are established. Be respectful and be kind and be mindful. And it's also okay to be amazed and to celebrate. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's about like temperament. It's about finding the importance and the joy in everything and about appreciation. I think the difference between this and Wizard of Oz is that when Dorothy goes back to Kansas, it is still sepia toned. It is still black and white.
Yes.
And when Jack goes back to Halloween Town, it's still full of color. It is still full of life. We see it in a different way. Yeah.
You know, they're like gift giving. Like they do learn something from it in their own pocket of life. Right.
Yeah.
They learned how to do it their own way. In a way, and like they find a use for all of the things that they like made. Yeah. Like they all do, like you said, they all do appreciate because they made them for each other, which is really cute. They did make gifts for the people they thought would like them. You know, they don't understand children. They understand scaring human children and that's it.
Yeah.
But like they also like did make gifts that everyone around them in Halloween Town actually would ultimately appreciate. And they also all are very clearly relieved to go back to waiting for Halloween and being the Halloween people. And so I think that, like, there's a lot of beauty in, like, just being, like, it's okay to take these pieces and, like, learn and to appreciate and to love it and to not suffocate it. It's a really interesting one because of the fact that I do think that the resolve is arguably abrupt. But I also understand it being abrupt, especially through that lens of like, it is a holiday, right? Mm. You have a night. And so it has to be a relatively quick resolve.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movie's like, maybe 70 minutes total. It's a short movie, yeah.
And so you know that it's coming. You know, it's like, okay, it has to wrap up soon because like, Christmas obviously isn't going to be ruined, right? Like, Santa has to somehow save it. But Santa right now is tied up down there with Oogie Boogie. So it's really interesting to, like, see this growth of just, like, okay, I made an error. And now I'm recognizing it's okay to be me, but I also messed up. Now what?
Yeah.
And so it's like, once you get to that moment in the film, it's like, okay, yeah, now what? Christmas is going to find its resolve. Done. Once we hit that next moment of like, okay, so now what? I think that it makes sense that like the only logical now what is we will continue to do the thing that we are really, really good at. We will leave room for the people who are really good at that. And we will respect that you're really good at it. And I'll respect that I'm really good at this. And we can do things for each other and learn things from each other without taking everything from each other and needing to have every holiday for myself or every, you know, thing for myself. It's funny. Like I said, I really love the end. I do totally agree that it is like abrupt though. Like it is like a very sudden like, oh, now they are back to being Halloween Town.
I think one of the most universal things people can say about Tim Burton is the world building. And so I think it's a real testament that in, you know, 70 minutes, you can create a character that I'm like, I want more. I want to understand this better. I want to be more in it. And I think there's also something so wonderful in this idea that Jack goes and makes mistakes and comes back to his community. And like, it's safe to make mistakes.
It's
this
okay.
Community loves you. And like, we will work together to fix it. I think that's perfect.
I think that's also exactly where he realizes he is loved. It's that moment where I think he's like, oh shit, I actually didn't need to go search anywhere, which I think is why we find the resolve back in Halloween Town as Halloween Town, is because he realizes that what he went searching for and what he wanted, he actually already had. It wasn't a need at all. He just wasn't seeing it that way because he was viewing all of it as transactional, you know, like, oh yeah, we work together, we're coworkers. But everyone else was like, no, we really do love you and we think you're great and we want to help you and we want to make your dreams come true. And it's once he like takes a step back and he's like, oh my gosh, they all like care about me and they all did that for me. Oh, whoops.
Yeah, there's almost like a mindfulness lesson of like, he's very stuck in his routine. And yet there are these beautiful things in the routine. It's just that because it's habitual, we start to take it for granted.
We see even with him and a couple of people where like the singers outside, I love them under their umbrellas, where he like yells at them and they're all like actually really upset about it. Like it's like it hurts their actual feelings. And I think it's like, it really is just one of those things where like we see that his frustration and boredom and his negative energy and his like unwillingness to see what he has around him and like the beautiful moments that are happening around him is what grows that disdain that we as viewers are able to see throughout the movie, but Jack blatantly misses. It isn't until he goes to Winter Wonderland and he's like, yep, this is what I've been missing. Only to realize he hasn't been missing it and he's been missing it. Like he hasn't been seeing it, even though it's right there. I think it's such a fun like thing as a viewer to be able to track like him suddenly recognizing like, oh, all of it was there and I was kind of a jerk.
Again, there's like a safety in that. I think it's really important for kids to, I know I was a very good kid. Other kids would be misbehaving and my parents would be like, you were never like that. And so that creates a thing rather than pride. It's like, oh God, don't mess up. Yes. Like the worst thing in the world is to be that. Yeah. So I think to exemplify that and say like, you will make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. And we can work through that and get better. Yeah.
You will be forgiven. It is okay. You will learn from it and it is okay. Yeah. And I think especially seeing someone like Jack, who is the character with the most power ultimately in Halloween Town, flounder and feel awful and feel terrible. Someone with so much, right? Mm-hmm. Who has everything, who has a bigger house than the mayor, who just like has everything that they could possibly want and yet still wants, I think is like that great jumping point of like, oh, okay. So even the person with the most can fuck up, can just totally botch it. And so you are allowed to mess up and it is okay. You will be forgiven. Cause even this guy who's supposed to have it all figured out and all together and takes care of this whole town messed up and was forgiven. So you can be forgiven. And I think that's like a very nice, like, oh, that's a nice comforting feeling for both, you know, something like Halloween or Christmas. Cause even though obviously Halloween isn't the most like coddly holiday, it is still a holiday where you like, especially as a kid, usually are spending it with friends and family and going trick-or-treating or having little Halloween parties if you're a little bit older. And it's like those things are still community moments of comfort. And like finding comfort in Halloween parties is okay just as much as finding comfort in your Christmas dinners, you know? Like they're going to be different. You're going to find different comforts in them probably. And they're going to be different levels of like coddly warmth probably. But it doesn't change the fact that it is still like a community loving place that is safe. And you are like safe there. And I think both of those holidays really like exemplify like that feeling of being with your community and doing things that are different and scary. And I think for me, I think that like the animation style was creepy, but it was always one of those things where I was like, I feel like, and like you said, it is obviously intentional, but I also feel like it is so exemplary about like how people judge them, right? It's like if we as viewers are like, oh, creepy, then it's like that must be how people in their world react to them. And so I think like it's like that makes sense that they would want something different, you know? And so it's like it's a great way to like, because I would argue Sally is the least creepy, but she's
sort of like the
is,
most normal looking kind of
she's the one that is explicitly handmade. And so it's like, it's interesting that like she looks the least like truly like put together with fingers and like placed together with like clunky, unshapen bits and pieces. But everybody else is explicitly just like that. But she feels like she's the weird one because she's patchwork and she's arguably beautiful. And in that world, we see that there aren't really many beautiful things, but we do see that Jack can appreciate beautiful things. And I think like that's also really cool that like she is arguably like ugly, quote unquote, by the standards of Halloween Town because she's conventionally pretty. So her worth is lesser because she's not scary. Because she is less scary than these other things around her, she is like instead like pushed off to be like, oh, well, you'll like make potions in the back with Mr. Frankenstein. Thank you so much. Goodbye. Like, go be unseen. And then she like will sing really beautiful songs to you, you know? And then she becomes like the seamstress when it becomes Christmas in Halloween Town. But all throughout, she's just not really respected until the end when Jack's like, oh my gosh, you were right. And you've been here all along. And I think you're perfect the way you are. I don't think you have to be scary, any scarier than you are. And I don't think you have to be anything that you aren't. I think you're perfect. And like, I think that that's what we like come back around to in such like a nice, pretty way. And I think why Sally is so beloved is because we see her go through that like struggle of being like, I don't feel like I fit in. I feel like nobody's hearing me. Like you said, feeling oppressed by this older force that just does not understand you, sneaking out, being like a bad kid, but doing good things, you know, like really like trying your best to do the right thing, even though everybody's like, no, you're wrong. And you're being silly and you're doing all of this. And I think that when we see that validation at the end, when she's like, yeah, I was right, but I also saved the day because I was thinking about all of these things. And it's okay that I'm different because I was able to see all of these other things because I'm different. Yeah. And like, there's just so much beauty in all of these. Like, it's okay to be different because those different things will teach. They will be the things that are there to make you able to do something someone else wasn't.
Yeah. I think it sort of reminds us of like why we have holidays is to make the boring exciting. I think that's something that I love about humanity is the propensity to create holidays all about light in the darkest times. And so I think the undergirding message for all of this is, I think, to find those things, to make those times happy. Yeah. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Would you consider it, I guess, required viewing?
I do think that it is required viewing.
Yeah. I was sort of wavering on it and then thinking about the things that are Halloween staples for me.
Yeah.
I think Halloween Town, I get a lot out of. Like, I think I get a lot out of that. I think there's some really beautiful messages about family. I think there's some really beautiful, there's such a gorgeous moment that I always come back to at the end where the little brother gets included and finds magic in himself. And the biggest thing for Halloween Town for me always, always is the line where Debbie Reynolds says, magic is really very simple. All you have to do is want something and let yourself have it. So I think that absolutely. And then I was thinking like, what's something else that's really big for me is like Charlie Brown, which I can't say there's really a good like moral or lesson there.
Such a good feel-good movie.
it's great, but like I really have not yet decoded what, you know, you're trying to say there with the Great Pumpkin and with Linus, you know. So, but then he's like, but his friends come and sit with him, you know. I don't, there's something there. But I think all of that aside, yeah, I'm going to say required viewing. And I'm going to say at the bare minimum, a cinematic achievement to create a film that works for two holidays.
Yes. I think it definitely exemplifies otherness and like the way to navigate otherness. And that's something that we get from a lot of films, but not necessarily a lot of holiday films.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know a lot of people have viewed it, but if they haven't in 2024, like you haven't or hadn't, then I hope that they do.
Oh, I'm so glad we did this. This was very fun. Is there anything you'd like to plug as we round out?
I do not think so. Watch whatever Aaron tells you to watch in the next handful of episodes. And I'm going to just replug, obviously, if you're already listening, then I hope you continue listening to Required Reading.
Oh, thank you so much, sweetheart.
Of course, babes.
Thank you so much to Jess. Happy early Halloween. It's very early, I know. So, you're welcome. Next week, Bailey Benningfield joins me to discuss Ella Enchanted. I'm sitting next to an open window in Maryland. Can you hear all of the orchestra of the night? Ugh, amazing. If you want to support the podcast, please go to buymeacoffee.com/requiredreading. I'm feeling proud of us. You should too. You can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for revenge. Ooh. I'll explain next week. It's so, like, it sounds like something huge is happening. It's so small. It's the smallest thing. It's 5 seconds. But I'll see you then. Bye.